Well, that doesn't make sense because I know Nick and Molly and they're awesome and I love them.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we talk about the healing power of prayer. Or rather, we talk about the belief that prayer can heal when in fact, it doesn't do anything useful.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Molly Glover.
Yes.
And Nick Glover.
Hey!
And we are here today to talk about the healing power of prayer. So I want to...
But good yes ending there, Tim. Yeah, you just jumped right in there.
My pleasure. Thanks. So I want to... I brought this as a topic that I wanted to discuss. It's something that's happened online relatively recently. And I don't know, it kind of tweaked me. It kind of... I'll talk about why, and then we can get into whatever we want to talk about with this.
Yeah.
So there's a director in the Twin Cities who had a severe heart attack about 2 weeks ago. He went into the hospital. It was very questionable whether or not he would survive. Friend of the show, Charles Hubble, is a good friend of this guy, posted several things online talking about how he was in the hospital, how, you know, the prognosis was very questionable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, keep him in your thoughts, those kind of things.
He had a good medical team, you know. Yeah. The family could use your support.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
People stuff.
And then we had another friend, and I'm not going to name him because it's not important.
It's not relevant.
Actually, there were a few people for what it's worth.
I mean, certainly another very good friend who's religious, and he was posting constantly about, you know, pray, let's pray to save him at noon today. I mean, there was one post, it was like, noon today, everybody pray for a minute. We're gonna heal him. We're gonna make him better. Okay, that's his belief, right? In and of itself, I don't feel there's anything particularly damaging about that type of prayer.
There's nothing damaging.
You literally, that's, you
because
can't.
Because it has no
he's
effect.
In the hospital.
Right.
He's
it
in the
can't
hospital.
Be damaging when it does nothing.
Exactly. He's in the hospital. Yeah. There's nothing that you as a person can do to make him better. So if praying
they're not
him,
a doctor who's praying instead of operating.
Right.
Like they're just, that's just them lending
people,
their support.
And if it makes you feel better, feel like you're doing something to support somebody that you really can't do anything else for, good for you. That's fine. What bugged me was this fellow, he recovered. I mean, he's still, just had bypass surgery. It's not
but
like...
But he's awake and talking and...
You know, the initial
bossing around his nurses, I think, is what people said.
The initial fear that he was gonna die, never gonna wake up from that massive heart attack. That's past. And what I saw from several people, including this friend who had been posting a lot about prayer, was, you know, praise God, God saved him.
And our prayers worked.
Our prayers worked.
Proof.
And there are a lot of reasons that I have a problem with that, but first and foremost, none of those people thanked his doctors.
Right.
And
or even thanked God for working through his doctors. Like, if that's what you want to do.
Or mention the doctors.
Or even mention the doctors or the nurses or the round-the-clock care that it requires when you have a major cardiac event and you are on life support. How about thanking the inventors of the machines that saved his lives? I mean, just...
How about thanking all the friends who were there to support his family?
People who went there in person, yes.
The next time you make dinner, I'm going to sit down to eat the food and be like, oh, it's just such a miracle that this food was made and delivered right to me immediately.
I was hungry and I thought, God, I'm hungry, please provide. And God did.
And food just appeared. It was
God provided
amazing.
A grocery store and I went to the grocery store.
No, God went to the grocery store because our God worked through his wife, I guess, and she went to the grocery store.
No, I'm sorry. No credit goes to my wife. The credit goes to God.
God actually went to the grocery store himself. In fact, God paid for the food.
Yeah.
So that's pretty impressive.
That is impressive.
So anyway, so
he
I
doesn't
came
make
away,
as much money as you'd think.
I came away from this.
Actually.
You know, and when I was first watching this stuff about prayer, that was kind of the eye roll of, you know, oh, great. Well, that's not going to do any good. And I have these horrible guilty thoughts. There are times where I'm like, I really hope it doesn't work. And I mean, oh, I yeah. never wish. No, it's not that mean. I was like, I wish this guy died, but I'm just like, a bunch of people pray and they go, our prayers work.
Mm-hmm.
Our
healing power of prayer.
Healing power of prayer. And I go, somewhere there's another person who had a massive heart attack at exactly the same time, because there are that many people on this planet.
Yep.
There's somebody else who had a massive heart attack at the same time and they didn't live.
Mm-hmm.
And I can even go as far as to say somewhere there was somebody who had a massive heart attack and a bunch of people spent a bunch of time praying for that person too. And they didn't live. And I just kind of go, there's a logical disconnect there it's our prayer.
Well,
that
no, there's
fixed
not
it.
Because this is what they say. And this is the thing that this is where I struggle the most with the faithful and the concept of faith, because what it ends up being is it's either, prayer worked, or when prayer doesn't work, part of God's plan.
God's plan,
yeah.
And that's the thing, is that it is a cognitive dissonance that I can't reconcile, to say when it goes my way, it's because I prayed. When it doesn't go my way, it's not because I prayed and was found wanting. And see, that's, to me, I feel like I would be more...
It's because
I would be
God heard my... It's the whole... God answers every prayer, but sometimes the answer is no.
And that, to me, I'd rather...
Well, then why pray at all?
And I'd rather the answer be, well, I prayed, but for whatever, but for a reason that I can consider, that I can think of, like, and they never, it's never about them. They're never like, oh, my prayers weren't answered because I'm a sinner, or my prayers weren't answered because my friend who was in the hospital is a sinner and deserved to die. They never want to say that. But that's what they're saying. When they say it was part of God's plan, they're saying God thought your friend deserved to die. And I can't reconcile a concept of a God that would make those choices.
It doesn't make sense, but... And of course, then, you know, there's the, well, God wanted another angel in heaven. And it's like, well, okay, but it seems like he's got plenty. Why,
Or like that Stephen Fry interview was making the rounds again. And they're like, Stephen Fry, you know, you go to the gates of heaven and there's God and you can ask him any question. What do you say? And he's like, I say bone cancer in children. What's that about?
Yeah.
How dare you?
Well, like, maybe they just need another, maybe they built a new roller coaster in the Heaven Amusement Park and they need another carny. Angel carny.
I think that God's carny.
That's like
God's
the most carny. Depressing job role ever. It's like, you're not just a carny, you're God's
you're
carny.
God's carny.
You don't get to ride on the rides in heaven. You just have to help other people ride the rides.
You get days off. I mean, you're there for eternity.
Do you get days off? Are you sure about that when you're God's carny?
If it's heaven, it's open... presumably 24/7.
Well, and the lines are never...
Everyone gets ride pass according to his sins.
If the lines are never long...
If you're in purgatory, you don't go through the fast pass line.
If the lines are never long, Tim, then they must be really, like, working hard to keep that bitch running.
They need
running.
A lot of carnies.
So they need a lot of... Yep. Heaven runs on carny blood.
On
that explains why there's so many kids with bone cancer. serious question though.
Yeah.
But I genuinely think that this is one of the more damaging aspects most specifically the Christian religion. I don't know if there are Islamic televangelists. I don't know. I'm pretty sure there's not Jewish televangelists.
Yeah,
but one of the most damaging things to me is this concept that if you pray enough, God will answer your prayers. Or, even worse, if you give enough money, God will answer your prayers. And
they're just this week...
On Last Week Tonight.
On Last Week Tonight, which is it's actually going to be
just
a week ago.
This week on Last Week.
It would have been on... What day is it? It would have been on the 16th.
The 16th?
August 16th.
And
show.
It was... It's. We got a link to it because it's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
John Oliver talks about televangelism.
Yeah.
And the... I mean, he like shows this televangelist who basically stands up there and says, you know, if you get diagnosed with cancer, I mean, sure, you could go to doctors who don't really know what they're doing. And
they give you poison.
And they give you poison to take the poison out of your system. Or you could come to church.
Well, and give us money.
And give us money.
Because you're planting that seed.
One of the other examples was someone like looking into the camera and saying, there's someone out there who's in trouble, who's got financial problems, and you don't have the money, but you have a credit card.
Yeah.
And if you put $1,000 on that credit card, God will take care of your debts.
God sees that and says, oh, well, that person needs credit card debt relief because they're using a credit card to plant their seed.
The guy that said, $1,000 isn't going to save your home if you're already in debt, if you're about to go
bankrupt. You're about to be foreclosed.
Yeah, I love that one.
$1,000 isn't going to fix it, so you might as well give it to me, and then God will return it.
Give it to God, yes.
Isn't this, what was the things you could buy, the, like, tickets to heaven?
Indulgences.
Indulgences.
The papal indulgences.
It's it's basically like indulgences. Yep. It's you're buying your way.
Or it's crystals. Or it's there's a lot of ways people try to take Reiki. Your money to heal you. But I feel like with prayer, so if you're gonna pray at home, you're praying for your friend. Like our friend who asked for those prayers. Yep. He wasn't asking for money, and he wasn't saying. You should pray for him instead of him going to the hospital. Right. They weren't standing around his bed praying for him instead of him going into surgery.
He was doing it because he genuinely wanted to help his friend, and that was a way he felt he could help his friend. And I have no issue with
exactly. that. Exactly. That is not what we're talking about. But that is the most benevolent piece of what I consider to be a larger problem, which is
something that can be very malevolent.
The idea that healing prayer that prayer is healing, that there is such a thing as the healing power of prayer, and that certain people are then taking that and saying, and I'm really good at it, so you should pay me money.
It's like saying, the placebo effect is real, and my placebos are better than anyone else's.
Yes.
I've got the highest power placebos there are.
And so it's like people always say, oh, you're angry atheist. You don't even think people should be able to pray if they want. That's not it. I have no problem. You want to pray, pray. That's great. But when you start getting money from people, or even worse, other kind of praying on people's hopes and fears.
Exactly. And that's what televangelists do. Yes. They're praying on poor people. I mean, that's the amazing thing about this prosperity gospel thing that they do is these televangelists, the people that are sending the money are usually the people that can least afford it. And they're so desperate. They're so desperate that they will believe what this guy is saying. If I send this rich asshole, and that's what he is. And I'm sorry if I offend him.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll offend anybody listening to this podcast, but that's not the point. The point is they're going to send this rich asshole money for a fucking Learjet when they don't know if they're going to eat anything but macaroni and cheese for the next week.
If that, I mean, honestly, like and the thing that I think is too is so that this idea that prayer heals, and that's fine, but then there's also this idea that if it doesn't, like, okay, the kind of televangelists where they do faith healing, you know, and I read once, I used to sub to the subreddit R Atheism. I stopped because it got terrible, but for a while there were some good stories, and this one guy was saying, I was faith healed of my depression, and the guy did the whole thing with the speaking in tongues and like smacked my head, and he's like, and I genuinely felt like my depression was gone for about 3 weeks, and then it started to come back because it's depression, right? And he wasn't faith healed. And he said, and the worst part for me, because this was him telling his story of when he turned to atheism, he's like, the worst part for me was that as I started to recognize that I was sinking back into depression, all I could think was, God is punishing me, or I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough to deserve even healing. He's like, and all it did was actually in the long run make my depression way worse. And it was then that he attempted suicide, and they got him on forced medication, because that's what they do when you attempt suicide. They make you take medication. And then he got better, and then he felt better, and then he started realizing that it was this faith healer that put him there. And that without that faith healing his depression, he probably would never have committed or attempted suicide.
And it was a mental health professional and drugs that actually helped him get better.
Now, I bet one of the comments that always stuck with me was someone saying, I bet if you told the faith healer that story, that he would say that was how God worked through, was to bring you so depressed that you tried to commit suicide, and then to bring you to the hospital where you could get the medication that you needed through God.
Oh, you know.
And it's like...
it's the mental gymnastics that people go through, and that even with, again, you know, this friend of ours who got everybody to pray for this person who had a heart attack, there again, there's the mental gymnastics of when it gets done, the immediate thing is not to say, wow, are we so lucky that we live in a time where medical science is...
God bless the doctors. God bless the hospital. Yeah. Like, praise Jesus for the medical technology that we have that saved my friend. Now, I'll even accept that. Sure. Like, if that's where you need to take it.
But, I mean, 50 years ago, he would have died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, 50 years
25
ago...
Years ago 25 years ago, he might have died.
His, 25 years ago, his odds were very, very slim. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing how far medical science has come and how far medical science is continuing to go. And it bothers me in that aspect too of going, well, did God just fucking hate everybody that had a heart attack before now?
Right.
You know, because of all those people in the 15th century who had heart attacks and just died because nobody in the 15th century even knew what a fucking heart attack was.
And if God's the reason that we have this technology, if God gave us science, and because some people will rationalize it like that, well, God is the reason that we have the power to learn about the science and to make the discoveries. Why didn't he do it sooner? That seems like a real dick move. Like,
I was reading when we were kind of talking about doing this as a topic. People online who are reacting to studies that saying faith healing isn't real or doesn't work, and they're double down denial in the face of that, and they'd be like you know, double blind studies. Science is the one that's double blind to God's will, and
did you hear that clever turn of phrase? Faithful.
What I saw over and over and over is God's healing might not be physical. God's healing might be spiritual. So the person who had a heart attack and is going into surgery might die in that surgery.
Yeah.
But that's okay because God is healing them spiritually.
So they'll be ready to go to heaven.
Right.
Right. So at least that when they die, which they will, and very soon because they don't get healed.
So I have a heart attack and I'm dying and it's me in this situation and people are praying for me.
Mm-hmm.
And Molly says... Well, look, you know, first of all, you probably wouldn't appreciate that very much. Mm-hmm. Second of all, your prayer won't actually help the situation. Mm-hmm. And someone says, well, God might heal Nick spiritually. It's like, well, Nick is an atheist. He's committed the only
unforgivable
sin. He's denied God's existence. So how are your prayers going to heal an atheist spiritually? Like, What is there, like, a little binary bit that gets flipped from 0 to 1? Oh, he's religious. Never mind.
Yeah.
We can heal him spiritually.
It's like an indulgence. Yeah. It's very much like an indulgence.
Yeah.
They're paying God off. They're saying, we like Nick. He's a good guy. I mean, yeah, he's an atheist, but we're all sinners.
And
no amount of prayer would get me into heaven. Someone else's prayer would get me into heaven.
According to the Bible,
according to the Bible. So... Yeah, I don't know.
According to the Bible, the only thing that will get you into heaven is if you say, I, Nick Glover, accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, renounce the devil and all his whatevers, and I am here to say that I am now a Christian and I believe, and then you're fine.
And then it doesn't
matter how many girls you raped and murdered, according to the movie Dead Man Walking, because no matter how terrified and screaming and dying and pleading and begging to God for their lives they were in their last moments and you laughed over it, you feel really bad. So it's okay.
Right now,
it's okay.
If you said it...
Yeah.
With your dying breath.
Yeah.
You're so, okay.
Real quick, because I know we're getting close to the end here, I wanted to tell a quick story. My mom,
this is a good story.
So my mom, you know, and my mom's gone back and forth. She was religious. She was not religious. She was... self-described atheist, then a self-described theist. She still says she's an atheist. I still say she's not, because right now her thing is, I'm an atheist. I believe in the concept of a soul, and I believe that maybe in heaven, and...
But no gods.
But I don't believe there's God, and I don't believe there's omnipotence, and I don't believe in prayer.
Yeah,
so she... Okay. I think she's having a hard time believing... She's having a hard time thinking that there's nothing after you die.
She doesn't believe in God, so she's an atheist.
Yep. Right. She's an atheist.
And she even said that. I am an atheist. I don't believe in God. I might believe in heaven.
Gods, plural.
And I might believe in a soul and all that, but I'm spiritual. spiritual, but whatever. That's fine. So she's an atheist.
Yeah.
And it's taken a lot for her to be public about that. And she is. She's very public about it. And so she went down to...
You go, Molly's mom.
Right? So she went down to visit all her southern cousins, and because they all live in Tennessee, and she went down to visit them.
Here it comes.
Here it comes. And she went down to visit them, and I'm just going to do the accent, so it's going to be easier. And they all... And she told them all she's an atheist. And they were... varying levels of surprise and just sort of unsurprised. But one,
hey, good for her for saying it.
Right. Yeah. And one cousin was very
shocked. For not hiding her candle under a bush.
Right. You know? One cousin was very shocked. So fast forward to just a few weeks ago, my great-uncle Bobby died. And my great-uncle Bob, sorry, Bobby is his son. It's very important in Southern naming conventions.
It is.
That you
it
get is. The right. So my great-uncle Bob died, and my mom went to the funeral, and this same cousin of hers came up to her and said... Because my mother had said, well, I'm an atheist. They were having some conversation. My mother said, as an atheist, blah, blah, blah. And this cousin said, well, Debbie, I'm just so confused because I don't understand how you can still be an atheist. I've been praying for you every single day to find Jesus ever since you told us you were an atheist back before in the fall. And I just don't understand how you can still be an atheist after all that, after all that prayer. So my mom texts me this, and I'm like, and I write back, I'm like, that's so weird. It's almost like prayer doesn't work. And my mom's like, I know. I mean, why would I still be an atheist if she'd prayed? I mean, or could prayer not work?
Or God said no.
No, it's God's will.
I want her to be an atheist so I can send her to hell.
It's because when you become an atheist... you make a pact with Satan to fill you with anti-prayer.
I remember
to
that.
To cancel out any prayers that are directed at you.
I'm chock-a-block anti-prayer. It's like stem
prayer
to stern.
And anti, it's like matter and anti-matter. Yep. They cancel each other out.
Neck
and
to nuts.
Yep. When you have nothing and it meets nothing, nothing happens.
Oh. That's exactly why.
Science!
My mom's nothing absorbed all that well-meant nothing.
Yep. Well-meant nothing. That's what prayer is.
Yep. So,
well-meant nothing.
Yeah.
So, gentle listeners, we have our final original five answers.
Oh, my gosh.
Answers
it's
to
true.
Our original five questions. This
it's
is
the
it.
Final.
This is it. This is the last
it's the
time.
The final answer.
Anyway, okay. So Molly has our final answer.
I where did they, a sticker
where
or
did they come from, Molly?
From Anchorage, Alaska.
Alaska.
We have Nate Labs at Denali Peak.
Hooray!
I know that's great.
That's pretty exciting.
So,
does he have anything to say, or are we jumping right into the questions?
Oh, so he only answered the first one.
So we have. A final five question.
It's the final question.
No, you don't get the song on just one. Sorry.
So I didn't realize this until I opened it and read through. It's so long that I assumed it went on. But the subject line is just best film I've watched in the last 30 days. So I just assumed it was, and then that's it. So okay. I'll read you the whole thing.
So we can make up answers to his next question.
I think we should.
Okay.
I think we should. All right. So question one, go ahead and ask it.
What's the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days? I'm helping.
Good Night and Good Luck. George Clooney, director.
Yeah.
There's plenty to be fascinated with when it comes to Cold War politics and dirty tricks. And as a native of Appleton, Wisconsin, hey, I am pretty intrigued by the brief but sadly effective tactics employed by the Senator Joe McCarthy. I used the film as an effective companion when I taught Arthur Miller's The Crucible, and many of my students admitted the movie was pretty good, even though it was in black and white.
Yeah,
some students, of course, wanted to know why anyone bothers to make films in black and white anymore. Most of them agreed that Edward R. Murrow was an extraordinary individual. I agree with that position as well. I love this film because it deals with truth and evidence, two things about which McCarthy was entirely clueless. There's only so much bullshit a reasonable person will accept before they reasonably start asking questions and measuring the validity of any claim. Unfortunately, McCarthyism highlighted a zeitgeist, however brief, of distrust and suspicion as American attributes necessary to the fall of communism. Hell, even Ronald Reagan, as president of the SAG in 1947, spoke out against the suspicion leveled at the film industry courtesy of the HUAC? House Un-American Activities
Committee.
There we go.
Activity Committee, yeah.
When I watch this film, it's hard not to think about the role of television and the media in the court of public opinion and what that means for how we understand the world around us. Maybe the outlets of misinformation are outnumbering the authentic journalism outlets. Maybe the more credible outlets have opted to reach a wider base by using sensationalistic techniques they used to loathe. I don't know, but this film is a sobering reminder of the power of media and a constant demand for information, and how in that mad dash, we might not be too concerned about credible sources, and that ignorance can really fuck people over in new and horrible ways.
I like Good Night and Good Luck. It's one of the, I mean, there are a lot of good movies that deal with the McCarthy era, but
One coming out.
Yeah, there is.
That looks amazing.
There is. That looks very good. It's about the Blacklist.
Yeah.
The Hollywood Nine. One of the Hollywood Nine.
I will say.
Eight, or however many. There were a bunch of Hollywood people.
Nate, this is a topic. Cranston. This is a topic that we are considering, that we're probably going to do a host only on soon. The idea of the 24-hour news cycle, the specifically American, but really global demand for instant news. We've talked about amateur journalism that we want to talk about. I was just having a conversation today with a friend at work about actually a friend of the show, Eric Knight, at work, about how the
acquaintance of the friend.
We like his wife.
About the way that people are so willing and wanting to be the first to break a story. Uh-huh. And how they have to get ratings these days, that they don't care about sources. And since we've jumped that line between news and infotainment, that now everyone's like, oh, shut up. So what? It's opinion.
Yeah.
And there's never any, like, journalistic accountability anymore. Yeah. So question two, and I'm going to just make up answers for Nate. Based on what I know about him, which is he's a teacher. He is at Denali Peak. He lives in Anchorage, Alaska.
Hey, Nate, what's your favorite atheist character?
I really love the poetry of Robert Frost because it's in my signature. And so I'm going to say Nick Frost. He's probably an atheist, right? Sure.
Probably.
Nick Frost. British.
All right.
They're mostly atheists.
There's like over 50%.
Nick Frost is my favorite atheist character.
What's your geekiest hobby?
My geekiest hobby is teaching film to students and really, really just digging into the semiotics and the sobering reminders
I bet his real hobby is German Expressionism.
You're probably right.
The German Expressionist movie, he probably owns like those films on like 16mm.
You know what, Tim? You got me. And that is my favorite geekiest hobby. That's true. I, Nate Labs, love German Expressionism as a hobby.
Yeah, but what's your favorite sandwich?
My favorite sandwich is the Alaskan special, known as
Muffaletta.
It's fresh fish on a
It's gotta be salmon, right?
It's fresh salmon.
Halibut?
Not halibut.
Oh, interesting.
It is a fresh salmon, I think a sockeye salmon, that's Alaskan. And it's smoked by the fires of Alaska.
Mount Doom.
Yes, and then you
Denali,
put it on.
Denali, if you didn't know, it's a volcano.
Yes, yeah, and then you put it on a black rye bread because volcanoes are down. Yeah, and
Denali's not a volcano. I don't want anybody to think I think that. Anyway.
Damn it, Tim. I mean, I knew that because I live in Alaska and Denali actually, and. And also, I knew a guy named Dawson who was from Alaska, and he really liked cheese, so there's cheese on there.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yep.
Wow,
what's
I like a sandwich with cheese.
What's the stupidest thing anyone's ever said to you about your atheism?
How come you're an atheist or whatever? Because, like, Jesus is so ripped.
Yeah, I get that one a lot.
That is pretty dumb.
That's probably the most common answer we get.
Because really
on that
the only
question.
Time Jesus is ripped is like in that Madonna video when Jesus is super fucking ripped in that video. Yep.
If you want to answer for Nate... For our old five questions? Too bad. Too bad. You can't. That's too bad.
Nate, we're sorry.
We answered one question, Nate. I'm not that sorry.
Yeah. So, but...
I feel like we went out with a... No, not a judgment, Nate. I feel like we went out with on a whimper.
This is the way five questions ends. This is the way five questions ends. This is the way five questions ends. Not with a bang, but a whimper.
Yeah.
Is that Robert Frost? Because Nate loves Robert Frost.
It is now.
Yeah. That's Robert Frost's best poem.
So, hey, Nate, why don't you, if you hear us read off these answers on the air, you could always send us an answer to the first of our new five questions.
Our new five questions.
Yes. Our new five questions.
There are new five.
And starting with the next Host Only episode, we're going to have to cycle through the three of us actually answering those questions.
It's true. I hate talking about myself.
Yeah, well, that's true. So we'll have you answer the five questions from Molly. Since you hate answering for yourself.
I could probably do that with some degree of accuracy.
You probably could. It's like, we should have you write down in a
we're going to do the newlyweds game.
Game style. That's amazing. Right. So, oh, man. All right. I love it.
So, anyway, if you have any thoughts about the healing power of prayer, as always, feel free to comment on our website. We love to read those comments. Sometimes we even answer them. And, please rate us on iTunes. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're just all over the place, y'all. And by the time you're listening to this, Minnesota Renaissance Festival started. We're all the fuck over the place.
Come see Wise Fools Improv on the Witchwood stage. Improv returns to the Witchwood stage as Wise Fools Improv.
And I'll be out there with the drags. Yep. And there's a wine tasting that...
Oh, yeah. The Off the Vine wine tasting is Fearless hosted with 5 members of the Fearless Comedy Productions people, and also Wise Fools will be performing there, and the Dregs as well.
Will be performing there,
it's an all Fearless extravaganza, and you get 4 wines and fancy, I think, hors d'oeuvres, probably. Sure, why not?
Sure, why not?
Let
me know.
Yeah. Hors d'oeuvres, why not?
Yeah, what the hell? So, come on out.
A little bite to eat with your drink.
Come on out and see us. Say hi. We love to meet people who listen to our podcast.
Our names are Olive, Beefcake, and Thomas, not Molly, Nick, and Tim.
But if you call us Molly, Nick, and Tim, we'll introduce ourselves as a different name.
We'll pray that bad things happen.
We'll pray. We'll
no
pray
bets.
We'll pray that you figure out the right name to call us. So, thanks for listening. thanks for listening to that super long outro.
Yeah. Wow.
We'll catch you later, y'all.
Bye.
I call upon the healing power of doctors and medicines and hospitals. Thank you, Jesus.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
I can't remember the last time I heard anyone say marital aid when they meant dildo.